League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Ooh, what up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank, I'm Branham. It's B-Rod, Boston Rodriguez behind the glass, and it is a Monday edition of the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. No Brian today. He just couldn't, I guess, handle a victory. He doesn't know how to handle wins. He doesn't know how to react to a dub. First time that the Houston Texans have been 2-0 since, what, 2016? I think is what I put on Twitter yesterday. But the Texans win a ball game yesterday. We'll be all in on the Texans. We'll get to some college football, I believe. Mailbag Monday. And the Astros are still going on. Astros are still doing things. Although some don't believe that baseball matters until the postseason. I saw some comments in the chat. Maybe not wrong. Main takeaway from the Texans win yesterday. What was it for you?
To me, the defense. I loved the defense. I kept thinking about, as good as the defense played, that there are so many things that can make this defense even better. That really was exciting to me because of the fact that Will Anderson was all over the field and Hunter was all over the field, and the fact that, you know, the secondary looked really good. And I thought that as much as Caleb Williams showed signs of looking better, obviously, than he did in week one, I really loved what this defense was able to do. And overall, I felt like the Texans were way more dominant than the final score showed.
Probably the second week in a row where you can say that. I feel like both weeks they should have won by multi-possessions. Against the Colts, they should have won by multi-possessions. Yesterday against the Bears, they should have won by multi-possessions. So you could look at that with a little bit of like tempered expectation, perhaps. Now, the fact that it's week two as opposed to week 17, it's like, okay, well, let's see where this team goes in the next couple of months. They're obviously have the potential there. Are there areas to clean up? Well, of course there are areas to clean up, and we'll get to that here in a little bit with our don't ignore in victory what you wouldn't in defeat. But my main takeaway is similar to yours. It's a good win because you won it. Every win that you have in the NFL is a good victory. I mean, half of the survivor pools across America have been ruined already 2 weeks into the season. Bengals lose to the Patriots. Ravens yesterday lost to the Raiders. So when you win an NFL game, there's plenty to be proud of. Are there areas you need to clean up to be like a Super Bowl contender? Absolutely. There's no doubt about that. But because it's week two as opposed to week 16, it doesn't really worry me yet. It's not something that bothers me yet because I think the Texans are well coached. So I think they're going to be better in week 16 than they are in week two. I think they will clean up those areas. I mean, look at last year. Texans were 0-2, finished 10-7. Like, they're going to get better because they're a talented team that is well coached. So what will not worry me in week two, I wouldn't feel the same if it was week 16. So plenty of room to improve. I thought the defense was fantastic, like you. The defense was unbelievable. The defense was great. Whether it was the defensive line creating pressure, whether it was the defensive line stopping the Bears' running attack, whether it was the secondary in Derek Stingley, who was blanketing DJ Moore. Yeah, DJ Moore won a couple of battles. He's going to do that. It's one of the better receivers in the NFL. Stingley won that battle. He won that matchup, had the big interception. Kamari Lassiter, slow as molasses, Kamari Lassiter. Interception, played a well of a ball game. Jalen Petrie in the nickel, flying all over the field, laying the wood to the big tight end. Henry Toa looking good. The defense was fantastic, I thought. I thought the offense was really good in the first half. I think they left some meat on the bone in the first half. They scored on four of their five possessions. When you're scoring on 80% of your possessions, that is a successful offensive efficiency. Problem was, three of those four scores were field goals. Mm-hmm. The problem for the offense in the second half, they kind of didn't show up in the second half. I think losing Joe Mixon was big to their game plan. And the fact that they lost him, it's like, okay, we got to kind of reinvent what our game plan is going to look like. And I don't think Slowick did a great job of that. The penalties. You had 12 penalties for over 100 yards, and you won the football game. You're not going to win many games where you get penalized a dozen times for over 100 yards. You had it first and goal, and you do not get points there because of Cam Akers fumbling the football. So I thought there was a lot of bad for the Houston Texans. I think they should have won this game by multiple possessions, but the defense was great. Kyahmi Fairbairn was great, and you're 2-0 for the first time since 2016, so there's not a whole lot you could really complain about.
I think that's what I like even more, is the fact that I felt like they were the better team. I felt like they were the more dominant team, and I felt like because there's areas to improve, as a team and on both sides of the football, that they can get even better. And I think that's what's really exciting, is for all the positives we saw, for as good as we feel about another win and starting 2-0 and everything that you said, I think you feel like because they can still get better, that you don't know where the ceiling is for this team, and that's such a good thing. That's what makes it more exciting, is the fact that you saw from guys that we weren't expecting and we didn't know what to expect of bringing back Barnett for another year. You didn't know what you didn't know about if Edwards had anything left in the tank in the middle of that line. And we kept guessing about Foley, and we haven't really seen settle to say, but we kept saying about all the defensive tackles, what can they really be? Is this really a situation where we need to be worried? Well, on the flip side, who knew that they were going to have that much left in the tank, how much juice that they had, the way that they were all over the place, and how they were wreaking havoc as much as their ends were. And now when you think about the fact that 6 weeks into the season, you're going to get a fresh Autry to join that group, that's where you say, hey, this team could even take it up a notch on the D-line, which is fantastic.
Yeah, I think the defensive line has been really good. I think that D'Amico wants a very specific thing in the middle. I think he likes large humans that take up a lot of space, and he has that. And the Texans' ability to stop the run yesterday was fantastic. Like, you look, the Texans actually outgained the Bears on the ground. Like, the Texans didn't have a great running attack versus what it looked like in week one, although I have some questions about that rushing defense that the Colts have after the Green Bay Packers ran all over them yesterday. So maybe that week one performance by the Texans running attack and Joe Mixon was a little bit overrated because the Colts are not as good as we thought for stopping the run. But whenever you win the battle of the ground attack, that is a huge element to winning a football game. And the Texans, despite not having a great running attack yesterday and losing Joe Mixon, that was a big part of it, they outgained the Bears by 4 yards on the ground. And most of the Bears' yards came from Caleb Williams. Yeah. Caleb Williams had a big chunk, a big majority of the Bears' yards on the ground. The Texans' defense allowed 27 yards to the Bears' running backs on 17 carries. Like, that is a recipe of winning football games. And yeah, Caleb Williams is going to be a dynamic player, and I'm glad that the Texans played the Bears in week two as opposed to week 14, because I think Caleb Williams has a lot of promise. I think Caleb Williams is going to be really good. I think the Bears will be way more difficult to beat in week 14 than in week two, so the Texans got the Bears at an appropriate time on the schedule. But if you're stopping teams to 27 yards on the ground with their running backs, you're going to win a lot of football games.
You are. And then when you think about what we didn't know about the back end of the defense, and Jimmy Ward, knock on wood that he stays healthy, but Jimmy Ward flying all over the place too. You mentioned Petrie and how active he is and how Will Anderson's given him props for being the biggest hitter on the night, the way he was getting up in the box, getting in the backfield, nailing guys. But when we talk about Lassiter, and you talk about he could have had a second pick, he made a hell of a play to read the ball, and you know the penalty brought the play back. But at the same time, his athleticism, you mentioned the fact that the knock on him was he wasn't quick enough, the speed, and his ability to adjust when the ball's in the air, fantastic. And so that's why this defense, to me, as much as the offense looked good, there's so much promise. But when you look at the Bears' defense, they're really good. And I think that that's what we look at the Texans, we're analyzing what the Texans did or didn't do, and they say they could be better, and they could. But you also have to give credit to the fact you were playing a really good defense. They are their secondary is very, very good. Their front line is very good, and they're aggressive. And so the fact that they were able to do what they were able to do, and like I said, stay in control of this football game against a really good defense, in my opinion, is also a positive. Yes, the guys in the red, white, and blue had things to clean up, but they still were able to put up points and move the football against a really solid defense.
To me, it was a tale of two halves. The offense, I thought, looked great in the first half, albeit leaving a lot of meat on the bone. You got to finish drives. You got to score touchdowns in the NFL if you're going to be a Super Bowl contender. Second half, they were not good. Second half, the offense was poor, in my opinion. And a lot of that, I think, was because Mixon got hurt. Like, I think the game and the game plan changes whenever Joe Mixon got injured, which – We'll talk about that later.
Yeah, we will.
Kyemi Fairbairn, Kyemi Fairbairn's great. D'Amico Ryans mentioned after the game that Kyemi Fairbairn is the reason they're 2-0. He said he is the reason that they have won both of these games. 50-plus yards. Kyemi Fairbairn, I hate to say this because I think jinxing kickers is very, it's aggressive. It's not a great move. It's kind of automatic from like 55 yards in. Dude's a stud.
Well, you saw it, and you saw the stats that came with it during the game about the fact that, you know, making the majority of his kicks from 50-plus yards and just, you know, D'Amico having the confidence, too, because I thought a couple of times, maybe he'll go for it here on fourth down. Mm-hmm. But instead, because of the fact that he feels so confident in Kyemi Fairbairn, you could just see it was almost an easy decision for him to say, we're going to take the free three and just take the points. And that's something that, as a coach, you love to see because there's so many teams across the league. You saw the missed extra point in the Kansas City-Cincinnati game be a big deal. You've seen missed field goals with better-than-average football teams because they can't find the right kicker. The fact that you have the right kicker, and we talked about this before the season started, and you found out what it feels like when you don't, when he went down last year, and now the fact that he can come in and just be nails for you whenever you need him to, that's a huge relief for a coaching staff, too, because those decisions can be nerve-wracking when you know it's a fourth and short, but you also know that you can't trust your field goal kicker.
Yeah, I think I have D'Amico pegged with his aggression / conservativeness. If he can get points, he's going to kick it. He's like fourth and one, fourth and two. If he can kick it, he's going to get the points. He believes in finishing drives with points. He's not aggressive whenever they're in field goal range at all. He's not aggressive when they're in field goal range at all. He's super conservative when they're in field goal range because he wants to get the guaranteed 3 points. He doesn't want to finish a drive without getting some sort of points. Now, if he's around midfield, if he's out of Kyemi's range, that's when you see him be more aggressive.
Yeah, and that may be true. I really did. I thought that he had really kind of shifted a little bit from what we've seen earlier where we couldn't peg him, and we knew that there were times where, you know, whatever we trusted in his stomach, in his abs, as opposed to Pawpaw's belly with Dusty, it would go situation by situation. But the fact is I thought he was going to be more aggressive going for it last night. Instead, to completely on the opposite, he just completely sent the field goal unit out and said, I trust you, go do this. And Kyemi did. And that is, like I said, a huge bonus for a team like this to have. Because you don't want to be a really good team with a bad kicker because that can derail your entire season. And the fact that he has that much confidence in Fairbairn is a really good thing.
No, I think I had that pegged last week. I said that after the game last week. I was like, I think this is D'Amico's personality. I think these are his tendencies. And then he kind of proved that point a bit. 713-780-ESPN. We'll get your thoughts on this one. Still plenty to break down from this Texan-Bears game last night, Sunday Night Football. I thought the stadium looked great. Good job, Texans fans, filling out the stadium. Y'all did a great job. I was critical of the open roof because I think it was going to be hot. I don't know. If you were in the stadium, was it hot? 713-780-3776. But it looked good on TV. I thought they did a great job with the presentation of it. And then the Texans showed out. And at least got the victory over the Bears. Your thoughts on it, our thoughts on it, 713-780-ESPN. It is a busy show. It's a Monday after the football. We'll hand out game balls. I believe what we learned from the college weekend, mailbag Monday, good, bad, ugly from the Astros weekend as well, which not a whole lot bad, ugly, right? Astros did sweep the Angels. 713-780-3776, the HRMP listener line. We're on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975, on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitter at ESPN975. Blankers at Pac-Man Joel. Branham is at Jeremy Branham. We are the Bees on ESPN975 and ESPN925.
Guys, it's roasting out there right now. Before we go to the break, I got to remind you that Vanderford Air is waiting to help you whenever you need assistance because you can go to vanderfordair.com right now, see all the services they offer, see all the things they can do. They can come out now and check your AC units to make sure that they're not going to go on the fritz when it gets as hot as it can be in Houston. And when something goes wrong, they are there to help. They're here to fix things right way the first time, and they're going to take care of you every step of the way. They give you what so many other companies don't, and they do it across the board. They give you guarantees. They guarantee so many different things in the way that they do their business. You should never look anywhere else. You should lock in their phone number in your phone and have it at the ready whenever you need something with your AC, your heating, your plumbing, and so much more. They are fantastic, and the backups are great. They put everything in writing, whether it's a repair that needs to be done or if you want to consider what it would cost to put a new unit in. They'll give you the estimates for both. They'll write them both up. You'll have them right there in front of you, and you can make the decision at any time. Once they do the work, their people are going to do fantastic work, and that's guaranteed. The parts and the services are all going to be guaranteed. The new systems are going to be guaranteed. There's a temperature guarantee that makes sure that the temperature and the unit is working exactly the way you want it to. And the number one guarantee is it's 100% your satisfaction or your money back. That's the best guarantee of all. And it even starts with the phone call. When I tell you to lock in the phone number, it's 281-557-COOL. Lock it in your phone right now. You never know when you're going to need it. 281-557-COOL. But please know this, when you lock it in, when you call them, within 24 hours of you calling them, they're going to be out to see you. Not waiting days on end. Hey, we'll get to you next week when we catch up on some of our other calls. Nope. That you call them within 24 hours, they're there to see you. That's another guarantee that you can't put a price tag on that's so valuable for you. VanderfordAir.com or check them out and save that phone number, 281-557-COOL.
ESPN 97.5. Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Texter saying, why does it sound like I'm out of breath? Why does Branham sound like he's out of breath? Blankers was Latrell Sprewell. I was PJ Carlissimo. And he choked me right before he went on the air.
There's no proof of that.
Yeah. Don't let proof or truth get in the way of a good
bit. There's
no
evidence. Then yeah. Say it happened.
There's word versus word, 6927. Alex, the Branham Bruiser Award goes to Aziz Alshire. Can Paul Wall and Johnny Dang make a chain? They should make a chain and a customized grill / mouthpiece for the Branham Bruiser of the game. Aziz Alshire is my type of player. That's my type of guy. I like Aziz Alshire. He's willing to throw punches for the betterment of the team. He's willing to lay the wood on Caleb Williams to the bounds of the out. This is what I was calling for last year in the playoffs whenever they played the Ravens. And then what did the Texans do? They went out and got a guy that would do what I suggested they should do. Aziz Alshire is a physical football player, and he's a Branham player. He's a guy that Branham loves.
I love that they got him. I was excited to have him back in a D'Amico system, and I thought that he'd be a perfect fit. The hit on Caleb I've got no problem with because it was legit. Caleb still had his feet on the green, and he got him before he got out of bounds, and that's cool. Where he's got to be better is on the sideline. You can't be throwing punches because the nightmare that I had was the fact that some referee saw that punch, and I don't care if he gets fined after the game is over with, but I'm thinking at that point in the game, if he gets tossed, what the hell are they going to do at linebacker, and how are they going to be?
Because, probably go dime.
Yeah, but I don't want to do that.
No, because, I'm with you.
Yeah, he was flying all over the field. He was in the backfield. He had a lot of juice, a lot of energy. He's obviously the quarterback calling all the plays for the defense. I loved everything he was bringing to the table. He headbutted an offensive lineman before he threw the punch. And I'm going, okay, here's where I need you to be smarter because your aggressiveness. And like I said, the hit on Caleb, legit. And I loved every bit of it. The sideline stuff, I can't play without you as good as I can play with you. I need you to make some better decisions.
I liked it all. He's no punk. I mean, if you're saying certain things to Aziz Alshire, you need to set the tone. You got to let everybody in the league know that if you're going to mess with me, you're going to mess with the Houston Texans defense. You can expect a right hook to the face.
And then you can expect that one of your better defenders is going to be out for the rest of the game, which could cost you.
Small price to pay to set the tone to the rest of the NFL. They want to be swarm. They want to play a physical brand of football. Aziz Alshire showed the league what the Houston Texans are all about. And I love every bit of it. Why do we celebrate Andre Johnson whooping Cortland Finnegan's butt, but we're not going to celebrate Aziz Alshire whooping Roschon Johnson's butt?
Roschon Johnson looked at him too like, what the hell did I do?
Roschon Johnson was being very loud on Twitter, like, he's lucky that I can go back at him. Go watch the video. You never thought about going at him. You sit there and raised your hand and were crying to the refs, you liar.
He had no clue it was coming. And then once he got hit, the first thing was palms in the air like, what did I do?
It took every fiber of my being not to go back at him. Well, that's not what it looked like, Roschon, you former quarterback. You look like a former quarterback on that play, Roschon. But I seriously want to ask that question because everybody on Twitter was like, oh, oh, you can't throw a punch there. And I mean, I get it. I'm kind of being silly here. Like, you really don't want to lose your starting linebacker who had a really good game. Wasn't great in week one. I thought he played much better in week two. Like, yeah, obviously you don't want to lose him. But why was he a moron, stupid, making a, you know, a silly play there, but then Andre Johnson's moment was celebrated?
Well, I think it was different points in the game, and I think that if memory serves
me... I don't really remember.
If memory serves me, and I've heard Andre talk about this in a couple of interviews when he was leading into the Hall of Fame, that he told... They were up, I think, by double digits when he basically told Coobs that, I'm going to go get him. And Coobs didn't even have... Like, he kind of gave him the look, but he didn't... Depending on who you talk to, he either nodded or he didn't say anything. But at that point, Andre just decided to handle his business. But regardless, I mean, I would think that's the biggest thing. If you have a game out of hand, and that's something that you feel like you have to do, and there's a backstory with all of the things with Finnegan, too, that Andre kind of went into detail at, even when they were out at some club in Miami and they saw him and it was going to go down there, mm-hmm. and Andre called his boys off and said, let's save it, and then he told... Yeah. that he was going to do it. But my biggest concern is, especially because you've got injuries, you got Harris out with linebackers. 2020, I thought, was underrated last night. I thought he played sure. very, very well. But I don't like the fact that if Harris is already out and you could lose El Shaair for about a half a game, I would not like that.
Andre, you were right about the multiple possession. They're up 17-0 with 8 minutes left to go in the fourth quarter. Azeez probably, I mean, it was a one-possession game throughout the game. Well, it was two possessions at some point. I don't remember what the score was whenever Azeez hit Roshan Johnson.
But it was still, was that late in the first half?
No, I think it was second quarter.
Or was it?
I think it was second half.
Okay.
I don't remember.
I couldn't remember the exact time, but I knew there was plenty of game to be played, and it wasn't out of reach by any means, where I was like, God, don't get tossed. And then when they brought in Bill Vinny, what's his name, the referee guy.
That guy was horrible last night.
Yeah, but when they brought him in, I was like, thank you for saying that unless there was a flag thrown, you couldn't toss him right there. Because I thought, you know, sure as anything, someone's going to find a replay, they're going to go review it, and they're going to try and toss him, and I didn't want to lose him.
I wonder if they do, I mean, I think he's it's potential that he gets suspended a game, though.
They said he's probably going to get fined. They said in the midweek when the fines come out, he'll probably get fined. So will the guy that tackled Mixon. But that I didn't hear anything about suspension.
I think it's in play. I mean, I don't really know how the NFL mandates that stuff, but they've suspended guys in the past. So I think if he gets announced as suspended tomorrow, it wouldn't shock me.
That would suck.
It wouldn't shock me, and that would be more of a testament to, you know, what you said. Yeah, I can't find the game situation, the score and time and all that stuff. 713-780-3776. Let us know. Be our research. 713-780-3776. Get to a couple of the text here. If Cam wouldn't have fumbled, the game would have been over. That was very disappointing. True. Cam Akers, and they also went away from Cam Akers on that final possession. They were handing the ball off to Dare because they couldn't trust Cam Akers. Cam Akers lost himself some valuable snaps yesterday.
You think?
Yeah.
I thought there were times that he looked good.
I do too. Yeah. But then they didn't give him the ball again after he fumbled.
Yeah, and then I thought you were saying there were plays leading up to that fumble or other plays that might have led to it. Yeah, I thought he looked really good until the fumble, and then I was really extremely disappointed. Because even on the hit, at first glance, live, it looked like there was just a push up the middle, and he kind of went shoulder to shoulder with a D tackle, and he kind of bounced off of it, and I thought, okay, well, he'll just eat that run, and they'll continue to pound it in the middle. Then all of a sudden, everybody's going, like, all hell broke loose, and I'm going, yeah. Oh, God, please don't tell me he fumbled. And I'm like, you just cannot fumble there, because the texter's right. The game's over at that point. I think if they get any points, but if they get a touchdown there, they put the Bears to bed.
He like, lost it quick, too. Yeah. Like, I was with you. I was like, man, I hope he hit his knee hit, or he hit his elbow hit before he lost it. No, he lost it, like, immediately.
Yep, right on the
bounce. That ball was out quick. Yeah, that was – and then they didn't trust him after that. And how could you? How could you in a one-possession game? 4-3-2-1, I'm glad I'm not the only one that thinks they should have won by at least two scores. They could very easily be 0-2 right now. Look, that's the NFL, though. I agree with you. They could very easily be 0-2 right now. Or even 0-1 or 1-1, but that's the NFL. Like, yeah. There's going to be a lot of one possession games, and the best teams are the ones who have the best record in one possession games. The Texans were great last year in one possession games. They have to continue to be.
I had Bears fans that were telling me we should have beat you guys. We only lost by 6 points. I'm like, did you watch the whole game? Because if you watch the whole game and you really truly feel that way, I feel a certain kind of sorry for you, because you think about the play that you're talking about, and then you add on to the. If Tank catches that ball with the two defensive backs behind him, he's gone.
Yeah.
There's another touchdown right there that they just gave back, where you're thinking about that and added to everything, the fumble, and you're looking at it going, there's two more scores that they even if you only get three out of the fumble inside the red zone, the tank plays a guaranteed six. You're running away with that football game because there's 9 or 10 right there.
Yep. 0979, keep thinking that's why you play the game. Should have is irrelevant. They didn't. They won by 6 and didn't cover, just saying. You don't make the playoffs and win divisions and advance in the playoffs based on your record against the spread, though. Like, you just either win the game or you don't.
Look at, was it Minnesota 2 years ago? They won some ungodly number that was record-setting of one possession, one score games. You know, the Texans that 1 year when they won 9 in a row, they found ways. And you don't go back and say the woulda, coulda, shouldas and what happened in this game and what happened in that game where they should have won by 10 or 12. The fact is, look at CJ's interceptions.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, CJ should probably have 10 more interceptions in his career than he's had. But the ball's bounced a certain way. You don't want to change the aura and the karma of all of it. But regardless, CJ doesn't. It's helped him look even better. But you'll take that. You'll take the fact that no matter how you get it, wins are so important in this league.
10 might be high. That might be a big number. 10 more interceptions to his career.
There was at least 5 last year.
I could give you 5. 10's a lot.
Okay, well, there was at least 5 last year. There was a couple last night and in week 1 where it's close, I think.
Yeah, maybe. Close calls are different than should have been, though. 10's a lot. That's a big number.
Okay, I'm not gonna Patrick Creighton you and say I'm gonna go back and start watching every single throw that CJ
made. Yeah, but you also have to factor in that, like, corners aren't going to make every single play.
You know what I mean? But if they're, you know, a lot of them were kind of like just floating ducks.
He's been reckless with the ball at times.
Yeah.
His interceptions that he's thrown in the NFL is probably lower than like his expected interceptions.
And there's no knock on CJ for it, because even if he picked up a couple, he still would be one of the better quarterbacks at taking care of the football. I'm not trying to knock him. I'm just using it to the example of one score games, one possession games, what the final score says versus what the game looked like. You just want to get the W at the end of the day and get out of Dodge. They did that, but I felt like in both those games, they played a game that looked like they were way more dominant than the final score said.
Yeah, 60-30, Caleb Williams' accuracy is abysmal. DJ Moore was ticked. Yeah, he wasn't happy yesterday. I think Williams is going to be fine, though. Like, he that's one of the things I wanted to mention, too, was that the Texans delivered to Caleb Williams a welcome to the NFL moment. And Caleb Williams even mentioned in the post game, he said, yeah, I'm bruised, man. I took some hits. The Texans sacked him 7 times.
Yeah.
They sacked him 7 times. And I don't know, like, Greg Rosenthal sent out this tweet that there was 36 pressures.
Well, wasn't
that
there
seems
a couple
a lot.
That he somehow got escaped when he should have probably had a few more sacks that at least he got some positive yardage out of? But you're looking at it going, for all the sacks he got, they could have had even more. They were in there and they were living in his kitchen.
And it's hard to be accurate when you're sacked 7 times and you get pressured 36 times and you throw the ball 37 times. So, like, That's going to lead to inaccuracy. That's going to lead to a quarterback throwing the ball up where Derek Stingley and Kamari Lassiter can intercept it. Of those 36 pressures, Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson combined for 17.
They were awesome.
Like, that's how you win in the NFL.
Yeah, they were just wreaking havoc all over the place. And I think to the Williams point, the one thing where DJ Moore was really upset, and even on the last play of the game to Odunze and a couple others, he's thinking one thing, the receiver was thinking another. And the one to DJ Moore, he just couldn't get it to the back shoulder that DJ Moore wanted in that window. To the Odunze one at the end of the game, he was expecting Odunze at a certain point to kind of stop and come back. Odunze was running a straight go route, and I think that they'll get their timing better. I saw enough after I had major concerns in week 1 that Caleb Williams is going to be just fine.
Yeah, I think that he's going to be good. Rookie quarterbacks, and then with the pressure that the Texans have, it makes it tough. Nico Collins is a dog. Like, he's really stinking good. I think I've underrated Nico, and I've liked Nico, but I think I've underrated Nico. He's a beast. Like, he is massive as a human being. He is really fast. He was a little stupid on that personal foul.
Yes.
But the very next play, he catches a touchdown, and as he's falling to the ground in the end zone, he throws an elbow to the safety
Johnson.
And then drives him to the ground. That guy's a dog. Nico Collins is a dog. I'm willing to say that.
He's our wide receiver 1. There's no doubt about it. And that's why when I was thinking about how many discussions we had leading into the season, and we were like, well, it's a good thing to have because we had all three have talent. the entire skill set of Nico Collins, when you start thinking about the catch he made to seal the game in Indianapolis, the hands, the footwork, the out route to CJ, not a lot of players, I mean, teams are even going to try and make that play. Quarterback makes a hell of a pass, but you got to make a hell of a catch. He high points the ball in that Indy game and with two defenders. And then we saw the physical side of him in this game. Every time they ran a slant or and every time it seems like CJ goes off script, there's Nico Collins making a play in traffic and also getting yards after first contact. Yeah, he's a stud and a half, and they are really lucky, and I'm glad they did wrap him up when they did.
Yeah, and for the contract they did.
That's like, what I'm saying.
Like it's looking like good money. Yep. Like the Tytus Howard contract doesn't look like good money.
Nope.
Nico Collins contract looks like good money. Tytus Kyahmi Fairbairn's contract looks like good money. So yeah, Nico's he's a stud. He might not always, like every single week, lead you in catches and yards because of how the defense is going to game plan for you, but he is their guy. He is the alpha in that wide receiver room. You mentioned Henry To'oTo'o. He had 13 tackles yesterday, led the team. Another guy that I've been impressed with. He's playing a lot better than my expectation of him. Over the offseason, I didn't think he was good as a rookie. He lost a ton of weight. He's playing a little quicker. He's not missing as many tackles. It's nice to see that from To'oTo'o.
Yeah, I think that, you know, when we thought that he had reached his athletic ceiling, we knew he knew the game. We knew he had good instincts. But you were questioning, like, how much higher can he go? How much more improvement can he give you? And there was a lot. There was reason to doubt. What you saw last night was a guy, and maybe I didn't realize how much weight he had lost, but maybe that's a part of what the reason is. But he was all over the place last night, and he was in the backfield. And when he had a chance to make a hit, he was delivering the wood to Bears players and pounding them, especially behind the line of scrimmage. I was very impressed with what I saw of him, and I hope that he continues to play that way because that's nice to know that he's there if depending on when we get Christian Harris back. And you don't want anything to happen to El Shire, but now you feel a little bit better that he's capable of doing some things to spell those guys.
Yeah, at the very least, the gap, the drop off to your number three linebacker is not as big as we thought. Mm-hmm. Like it was, oh, I don't love the depth. If El Shire or Harris have to miss a game or two, then Harris placed on the short term IR has to miss the first 4 weeks. Like, I don't love the drop off. The drop off might not be as huge as we thought going into the season. I think it's still significant, but not as huge. And then Petrie moving him to the nickel spot was. I think it's going to add money to Jalen Petrie's career earnings. I think it's the best spot for him. He's a guy who likes to play in the box. He's a guy who's probably a better tackler than he is a cover guy, especially as like a free safety because the Texans like to move their safeties around. So moving him to the nickel, great call by the Texans.
Yeah, and the way that DeMeco uses him it makes him so much more valuable because of the fact that he does like to stick his nose in there and get physical, and he can send him, and he can move him around, and he can do some things. You know, I think in coverage is where he still has work to do. He got the PI on, I think it was Kmet, on the one play. But overall, I think that, you know, having him where he can be at his strength, and his strength is absolutely tackling. I mean, we joked about the fact, you know, your safety shouldn't lead your team in tackles.
Mm-hmm.
But now you see a guy that when used correctly, we see plenty of defensive backs don't want to stick their nose in.
Yeah.
He looks for it.
Yeah, as a nickelback, go ahead and lead the team in tackles. It's fine there because you're playing close to the box. If you're, you know, playing safety, especially if you're playing free safety, yeah, I don't want you to get a whole lot of tackles. A little different when you're in the box, though. 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line. Do not ignore in victory what you wouldn't in defeat. Okay, a lot of you Texans fans, well, they should have won by more. They should have put this team away sooner. All right, well, now's the time for that. Do not ignore in victory what you wouldn't in defeat. What went wrong for the Texans yesterday that they do need to clean up? 713-780-3776. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, a minute for Allstate Windows and Siding. If you're looking to give your home a facelift, forget about painting or staining. You just need to buy siding from Allstate Windows and Siding, and they'll take care of the rest because Allstate Windows and Siding has a huge selection of colors. Their products are energy efficient, impact resistant, tough as nails to protect you from hurricane season, all that wind and weather, and they do a hell of a job of reducing your energy bills because it can keep the good energy and the heat or the cool, depending on the season, inside, and then keep what you don't need on the outside. The windows do the same thing. And the greatest thing about Allstate Siding and Windows is they do free estimates. So you can have someone come to your door and tell you exactly how they can help. They can show you and give you all the different kinds of products that they offer, from the windows to the siding to all the things that they can recommend from their expertise about what would be the right fit and the right product to use based on your house and your situation. And they take care of you more than that. 30% off on all windows right now. $2,500 off a complete siding job. That free estimate allows you to decide, do I want to do one? Do I want to do both? What's the best fit for me? Me and my family, we did windows. immediately you can look at a more modern, very clean, very, very good-looking house because it upgrades the overall curb appeal. But then when you get down to the fact that we've saved significant amount of money on our energy bills and we know the protection that we're getting, it makes me feel better knowing that it's not just the contents. My family is safe, secure, and we've got a really good product on our house. You can too. Check them out today. Get to this number. Call them. Ask them to come out and explain to you all the things they can do. 832-204-1936. It's simple. 832-204-1936 or go to allstatesidingandwindows.com.
ESPN.
97.5.
Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Boston Rodriguez filled in for Brian McDonald today. Do you think B-Rod looks more like Mario or Luigi?
Both.
That looks like a cross between the two.
It kind of does, yeah. If they had an illegitimate child, B-Rod, welcome to the mix.
Do they have a last name, Mario and Luigi?
I don't
think so either. But he's like the brother. He's the evil stepbrother. I think there's one of those. Wario, maybe?
You're Marweegee.
Mario wears red, Luigi wears green, and B-Rod wears orange.
Yeah.
Yeah. He could be a Mario brother.
Marweegee.
All right, 713-780-ESPN. Do not ignore in victory what you wouldn't in defeat. 713-780-3776. Keith from L.A., I'm with you, Branham. Set the tone. He, Aziz, was in enemy territory, and he did what he's supposed to do. Aziz said afterwards, I don't want to hurt anybody. I'm just trying to hit you. I hope you get up, and I hope you're perfectly fine, but I've got to do my job. That's how I feel with my takes and my trolls, too. Huh. I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. I don't care if I do, but I'm just doing my job. I'm just doing my job. So I feel Aziz there. I can relate to Aziz with that comment yesterday. 90-62, I like how we have all this hype around quarterbacks. Supposedly, the best quarterbacks get drafted high, blah, 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 blah. The best quarterbacks are found later in the draft. Are they?
No.
Like, Pat Mahomes was drafted 10th. The Chiefs traded up, drafted him 10th. He's easily the best quarterback in the NFL. Joe Burrow's probably on the short list after that. He was drafted 1. Lamar Jackson's on the short list after that. He was drafted at the end of the first round. Josh Allen was a top 10 pick. C.J. Stroud was drafted 2nd. Who are other top quarterbacks in the NFL that belong in this conversation?
Oh, well,
I mean, I think I covered them.
Yeah, I mean,
that's probably the top 5
Rodgers
right there.
Is over the hill now, and he was in the 20s.
He was a first rounder.
He fell, but he was a first rounder, yeah.
Like, how many, what other, Justin Herbert, first rounder, if we want to say he's a top quarterback.
Burrow.
Yeah, Burrow, number one overall pick. Yep. I mean, if you want to say, like, I don't think Dak's in that tier. Like, Dak's probably closer to 10th.
Yeah.
Okay, he was later in the draft. Brock Purdy, somewhere around 10th.
Hurts.
Okay, he was later in the draft. Hurts is a top 10 quarterback. He was drafted later.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the top tier or top two tiers of the best quarterbacks in the NFL were drafted top half of the first round.
Yeah, Herbert was...
Herbert was top 10 pick.
Top 10 or 12,
yeah. He was drafted after Tua, but it was still... I'm pretty sure he was top 10 pick. I think Tua was like 6 or 7. I think Herbert was like 8 or 9.
Definitely in the top 12, 10, yeah.
1565, CJ's been very average and nothing special I can call. We'll grade Stroud's performance later, but that's a silly take.
Please call in because we've got a spot for you.
Yeah, please call in, man. What's the odds Dameon Pierce is active this weekend? I don't know the degree of injury, and it's a hamstring, which worries me. And for, you know, some of us were clamoring for Dameon Pierce not to make this 53. He's probably going to be useful for the Texans, depending on this Joe Mixon injury.
Well, and I like the fact that with him, we saw some positive signs from him in week one. With him out, we saw enough that there's some more credit that goes to the offensive line, that Cam was able to get positive yards too. Even Dare got some positive yards when they run back there. Yes, you'd like someone that's more consistent that you can really trust back there, but it also shows you the offensive line is capable of opening up some pretty big holes for whoever's in the backfield, and you've got three serviceable guys that can do some things right now.
713-780-ESPN. All right, what are we not ignoring in victory what you wouldn't in defeat?
I think the first thing is the penalties. I just think that when you start looking at, and you know, we joke, me and some of my buddies joke around, the Texans games don't start till Tunsil gets a penalty. But the fact that he got two, the fact that, you know, you also had Kenyon Green get one, and that you had 12. I mean, as a good football team, that's not a good sign. That's something that definitely has to be cleaned up. I just think that overall, you won a football game, you were still dominant, but at a certain point, you don't want calls like that, to, you know, or a call here or there to kind of really bite you in the butt. So it's not like a big massive problem.
I think it is.
I think it's something they got to start working on now so that it doesn't become a big, massive problem.
You can't win games with 12 penalties, 115 yards.
Remember, the Cowboys were just like every week 12 to 15 you can't penalties. Do it. And it's really demoralizing sometimes.
And the Texans were a highly penalized team last year, so I do think this was an anomaly. But yeah, you can't overlook 12 penalties for 115 yards. That's unacceptable. And DeMeco would be the first one to tell you that, and did tell you that yesterday in the postgame. Same thing with the Cam Akers fumble. Like, you're first in goal, man. Like, all you need there is a field goal, and you're up two possessions. Like, that drastically changes the way the rest of the game is played, even if you only get a field goal. If you take a knee in that spot, you put the Bears in a very difficult spot. They have to score a touchdown on that possession where they scored a field goal. They would need two touchdowns to beat you. You can't fumble there. Absolutely cannot. I like you, Cam Akers. I appreciate your grit coming back from two Achilles injuries, coming back quickly from both of them. I like you. I want to root for you. I thought you ran the ball pretty well yesterday. But when you fumble in a first and goal situation where you really don't even need the touchdown in that spot, unacceptable, straight to the doghouse, didn't touch the football the rest of the game.
That is how you fall, no matter how good you've looked and how much people are talking about you. That is how you fall completely out of favor with any head football coach. Because you hope, for his sake, that it's just for the rest of this week, this last game. And obviously because of the need that they might have, depending on what the situation is with Joe Mixon, he's probably going to get more opportunities. You just can't be a guy that's now become labeled as a fumbler because you won't be on this team very long.
Can't do it. Like Mike Singletary used to say, can't do it, won't do it. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Lamont, you're in the Hive of the Bees. What's up?
Hey, what's up, Killer Bees, man? Last night, I was kind of mad, but, you know, granted, I was drinking, and I went back and watched the game today, and I was mad at C.J. Stroud, man, because C.J. Stroud, in that third quarter, he looked like Pasadena, and it was just real stinky, man. It was just real stinky, but then I started, you know, once I started sobering up the next day watching the game again, I was like, okay, it's the first two games, and no quarterbacks, most of the quarterbacks have been looking like they kind of off their game. But then I thought about something else, man. I thought about last year. It was this time last year, that third game is when C.J. Stroud kicked in. And I was like, you know, maybe I think this whole diminishing down preseason is really affecting the players at the beginning of the year, man. Because it's been, I mean, this week, yesterday was, outside of the Texans, was crazy. I mean, yesterday made absolutely no sense at all, man. And, you know, I'm like, you know, man, these guys are going to get into rhythm around week three. Was it week three last year when they played the Pittsburgh Steelers? That was week three?
Sounds right. Yeah,
at home. Yeah,
yeah, that was week three. In that neighborhood, when he picked it up, because you know, he looked kind of bad last year. But you know, into this, you know, ignoring don't ignore in defeat and all of that type of stuff like that. Man, I absolutely agree with you guys. Man, yesterday could have been a travesty. Yesterday could have been real bad, man. Mm-hmm. But I'm just happy that we got a kicker that got a leg. I wouldn't want him to kick me in my ass, man, because that dude got a leg. And that's all I have, fellas.
Appreciate
Lamont. Yeah. No, look, I think that when you talk about and you look at things, like you can see enough in Caleb Williams to know he's going to be good. He's got a lot of skill. The things that the one that sticks out to me is the play that got reviewed, the throw that CJ made on the sideline to Diggs. I mean, the minute he threw it, I was like, oh, wow. I mean, there's just wow moments. The fact that when he goes off script, it's not really off script. He knows who he's looking for and what he needs to do, and he gets the job done. That's so rare. That's when we talk about his poise and his IQ and then just, you know, being smart with the football, which with Deshaun we struggled with because Deshaun was trying to make sports better moments out of every play, and that cost you. He knows when to get down. He knows where the ball has to go. So even if he is taking a chance, it's not going to be as risky. And he has that ability with his touch to put footballs in places that not everybody can make those throws, and that's special.
Yeah, I thought that he was great in the first half, and I think that the rest of the offense wasn't good in the second half. And he's part of it, but I mean, the Bears were getting home with four-man rushes because they were stunting the interior offensive line to death. Like, he didn't really have a chance. If you have an NFL team that's getting pressure immediately with four guys and you have seven guys in coverage, nobody is going to be successful in that spot. So I would pin it more on the offensive line, the fact that they had to go away from the running game because of no Mixon, than I would put it on Stroud. Now, Lamont's creating words. Pasadena, they're real stinky. I like that, Lamont. You know what the kids are saying right now? Like, when something's bad, they're calling it Ohio. There's like, because things are bad in Ohio.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, that's not because of that. It was before all that. But like, people are just, they say like, hey, you know, I don't like that hat. That's Ohio. That's what the kids are saying.
Really?
So like, Lamont's creating that with Pasadena. All right, Will, Tyga, we'll get to you on the other side. 713-780-3776. Do not ignore in victory what you wouldn't in defeat. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Guys, hopefully you had another successful weekend watching games, having some people over. Maybe you didn't and you're going to have some people over this week. I recommend Stella Rosa Wines if you do, because no matter what you serve, what's on the menu, what the kind of snacks and the dips and the chips and all the different items you're going to serve from an eating perspective, you need a beverage that you can actually drink pretty consistently throughout the day and not be too much and not take away from your viewing pleasure. It goes with everything. They have a variety of different Stella Rosa wines. We had a pineapple, a really nice pineapple, a wine in here at the end of the week for our toast of the week on Friday. It was fantastic. They have a lot of them. You serve them all chilled, and you can, it's not like more of a, you can sip them, but you can have them all day long, and it's not going to kill you by the end of the day, if you know what I mean. They're fantastic. They're available at your local retailer. You need to check them out because they are absolutely delicious. There's no bitter aftertaste. There's nothing that you're not going to like. And the fact is, your company's going to love them too. They go with everything. Everybody's going to enjoy having that option as well as whatever you're serving. And at the end of the day, you're going to go home feeling really good, knowing that you got to see all the different plays and you didn't feel like you were anything but yourself, but they taste delicious. They're all served at your local retailer. Check them out today and always celebrate responsibly.
ESPN 97.5.
You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Don't ignore in victory what you wouldn't in defeat. 713-780-3776. Back out to the HRP listener line. Tyga, you're in the Hive of the Bees. What's up, man?
What's good, fellas? Hopefully y'all doing good on this beautiful Monday, especially after a victory. I understand we're not ignoring what we wouldn't defeat when we wouldn't have dubbed, but in a sense, like, CJ is really that good. And I hear some people, like, even not just on socials, but, like, people complaining, like, oh, man, he didn't. Like, yeah, sometimes we're not going to lie, but we got a dub, let alone shout to Kaimi, especially if you remember the Fat Randy days. Mm-hmm. And if we're just talking about running backs, and we got Joe Mixon, is the hurt banged up? Let's give the British Bulldog a shout, you know? Let's try to give him, see what he got.
Yeah, love me some British Bulldog. Appreciate the call, Tiger.
Luigi. Good job.
What happened to our other guy? Our other guy was calling in to blame, to talk trash about CJ Stroud. Call back, man. 713-780-3776. We're going to go to you next. The guy that texted in, Dog and CJ Stroud, had called in and then he hung up. I guess he got a little cold feet.
Right, yeah.
Got a little cold feet. I'm not sure the British Bulldog has played one offensive snap.
I was going to say, if you want to give him some props, go ahead. I don't remember anything he's done short of the preseason.
He had the big tackle on the kickoff. Yeah, but I'm pretty sure he has not played one offensive snap.
I don't think he has.
I thought we'd see him a little bit as a fullback because they cut Beck, but they've only used Stover in that spot. I shouldn't say only Stover. They've used Brevin there. They actually used Schultz there, too.
Yeah, scared. I was a little worried when put Schultz in the backfield.
They've only used the tight ends there. They haven't used the British Bulldog at all. But, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't hate to see him as a little H-back, little Frank Wycheck situation going on. The Joe Mixon situation, I think it was a hip drop. Ooh. I think that Joe Mixon's got a case for that. I think that should have been penalized. But that really doesn't matter now. Like, who cares? If it gets penalized in that game, you still won the game. Like, that doesn't matter at all in the moment. Maybe, like, you get some justice out of it, I guess. What matters now is that Joe Mixon is going to be questionable for however long. He's getting an MRI today. Of course, injured the ankle, went to the tent. He went from the tent to the locker room, which to me is a clear indication. They went to X-ray to see if they found a break at all. And now an MRI, which doesn't sound great. Why in the world did Joe Mixon get two carries after sustaining the ankle injury?
I'm sure he wanted to come back in.
Stupid.
Yeah, and you saw him actually doing really hard cuts on the sideline and they were said they said he was running routes and trying to, you know, check the ankle. At a certain point, no matter how much he wants to get in, I get it, like you're saying, you know, you got to keep him out of the way of himself. But I think they also realize how much they really need Joe Mixon, and that game wasn't out of reach by any means. But my biggest concern, we replayed it several times just to see how bad did he turn it. Like, because sometimes when you really roll an ankle or you get rolled up on, you get that really big torque on it, and maybe that, at least it looks like it's more significant. I hope he was able to escape a major, because I'm thinking about it right now, like going, is he going to not play for like 2 weeks? Is this going to be 2 weeks, 6 weeks?
I think it'd be worse than that.
I hope not.
I mean, they didn't find a break, but that quickly
sometimes
probably ballooned up
break
on him. Yeah, I mean, that, I think that's a little bit of an overrated saying.
A high ankle sprain, that's really, it can linger.
Yeah, but a break's going to be minimum 6 to 8 weeks.
Depending on what kind of break, again, that could be, it could be 4 weeks.
Not sure there's many breaks. You're coming back in 4 weeks with the foot ankle.
I mean, we've talked about it a lot in some a lot of times that you would rather have.
I think it's an old cliche, quite frankly.
Well, I'm an old guy, Jeremy, and so sometimes I go that route. But I do believe that in certain cases, you know, you look, Kyle Tucker, maybe a break would have been better than what he did.
Apparently it was a break.
But then we find out after the fact that maybe it was a combo platter. But overall, what you saw in week one, you want to have the ability to have Joe Mixon. For the majority of the season, and I do think it was, the textbook epitome of what that rule was put in place for, because he was like riding him, landed right on him, pounced down on the foot. It definitely should have been called. Maybe the officials aren't polished yet on how to be looking for it and how to call it. It was multiple games yesterday where it happened. They didn't call it. I don't give a rat's ass now if he gets fined or not. Or I know Mixon went out on social media after and was complaining about it. Even if it's called right there and then, the main outcome is your running back that you went out and got that looks like he could really substantially upgrade your running game took a blow.
Yeah, that's – I don't really – to me, that's irrelevant. Like, all that matters now is, like, is he going to miss time? Is he going to – how much time does he miss? But the bigger problem that I have is how in the world did they allow him back in the game? Like, this is some Houston Astros injury management type stuff. There is no business that Joe Mixon should have gotten two carries after having to get x-rayed. He could barely move, and you could see it. You could see that he could barely move, and then he's going to have to get an MRI today. There is zero reason that the Houston Texans should have had him carry the ball two times after all that. That was dumb.
Well, are you saying he could barely move when he got those carries?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, because what I saw on the sideline with the quick cuts and the quick footwork and the really pushing it, looked like that he could still do what he needed to do.
I didn't think so. I thought that was the case at all.
Doing the quick jab steps and he was kind of accelerating and changing direction.
This is what you're talking about? He looks like he's moving at 50%.
I saw one that right before or after they went to Melissa Stark where he was really pushing it, but it looked to me like, okay, I'm sure they're asking him, if you're feeling pain too, when all the medicals came back and said, medically, it looks like he's okay. But if he's telling you he's not feeling it, you want Joe Mixon out there. You're in a tighter game. I think that's why he doesn't matter. I think
you're defending this.
I'm saying this is exactly why he was still going out there. As a football team, you know how much better you are with Joe Mixon. If he's telling you that he feels okay from a coaching staff, because you don't have the time to see all that. You're just listening to your medical personnel. They're going to put him back in the game.
I think that's stupid.
Okay.
You defend him.
I'm saying if he's telling
you're putting him back in. Your head coach playing.
If medical says there's nothing wrong with him and he's saying I'm good to go.
How is there nothing wrong with him?
If they're telling there's no breaks, there's nothing.
They might say he's good to go, but they're not saying there's nothing wrong with him.
And if I'm the head coach or I'm Bobby Slowick and I hear medically he's cleared and then I ask Joe Mixon, how you doing? I'm good to go. I'm putting him back in the football game.
I thought it was reckless. Hopefully he's not going to be gone for a whole long. Hopefully he's back. Hopefully it's no big deal.
I hope he can play this week.
But it didn't look good. It did not look good. 713-780-3776. So go to the HRMP listener line. Will is the guy who said that CJ's playing like Ohio. Will, you're in the hive with the bees. What's up?
No, I didn't say he was playing like Ohio. No. I just want to ask you, how is CJ Stroud playing right now? Because what I watch on TV is very, it's just last year, yes, good. This year, average, and it's not looking too good. He has he has a good team around him and a lot of weapons, but to beat the Bears with a rookie quarterback,
Okay, appreciate the call. He's calling C.J. Stroud mid. He's calling him average. Do we think that C.J. Stroud has been mid and average through his first two games? 713-780-ESPN. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
At BP, we're putting words into action, making our strategy happen, growing our upstream rapidly and efficiently with seismic imaging tech. 6 discoveries in 2025, 2 in Egypt, 2 in Trinidad and Tobago, 1 each in the Gulf of America and Namibia, as part of plans to drill 40 wells globally by 2027. Helping drive long-term shareholder value. Learn more at bp.com/strategy at work.